Today's amazing race wrap-up show is sponsored by Avant. Look, you don't have to go on the amazing race and win to get some money if you need it. The truth is, sometimes honest, hardworking people could use some extra money, and the banks don't always make it fast or easy. But you can go ahead and check out Avant, because Avant provides access to personal loans from $1,000 to $35,000 without ever having to step foot in a bank. You can go to avantoffer.com and check out your competitive rate. Checking your rate is risk-free without any effect on your FICO score. Complete your application in minutes and the funds could be available in your account as soon as tomorrow. You'll see how easy and convenient borrowing through avantoffer.com can be. Avant is also going to give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after you make your first payment on time. For this offer and to check out your rate risk-free, go to avantoffer.com. Enter promo code RHAP. That's AVANTOffer.com. Promo code RHAP. Avantoffer.com. Promo code RHAP. Those loans are made by WebBank. Funds are generally deposited via ACH for delivery next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's loaded up on pumpkin candy tonight. No pumpkin, no. I'm Rob Cicerino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast for our amazing race for wrap-up show here on November 20th, 2015. I am back after a week off on a hiatus for paternity leave, but the show kept going on without me, courtesy of this woman and Dan Heaton and Mike Bloom. Here is the great Jessica Lise. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. We had a really good time last week. It was kind of one of those things where we just kind of, it was like, dad's not here, let's throw a party.
No, I was watching from the hospital room. I did have it on.
And it was all Greek to you because we went way back into the archive, Rob. It was so much fun. And you know, as much as I love doing the podcast with you, it was fun to do something a little different. I think people really had a good time with
it. Yes. Nicole has said the same sentiment to me on another occasion about something totally different. But I do appreciate you guys filling in my absence, Jess.
Anytime.
Okay. But here we are. We're back and we got an elimination to talk about. What is this on The Amazing Race? People actually get kicked off on this show. Who knew? We have a U-turn to talk about and some drama.
Yeah, a lot of drama. A lot of people sniping at each other. So much throwing under of buses.
Yeah, and tuk-tuks.
And tuk-tuks.
All right, so we've got a lot to get to here tonight on our Amazing Race for Wrap-Up Show here live on Rob Has a Podcast. And so good stuff. We will be doing our exit interview coming up this Monday. Team Texas, finally, it looked like that they were a front runner to win this thing. But unfortunately for them, they ended up sort of in the back of the pack and then ultimately a U-turn this week, which was really the nail in the coffin after that speed bump, which was kind of a brutal speed bump in terms of what we've seen in the Amazing Race in the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been saying for years that speed bumps need to be harder. I don't know, they may have overcorrected a little on this one.
Yeah, so we will talk about that that speed bump as well and much, much more in our show tonight. Of course, we're live. We've got the chat room open here on robiswebsite.com. We're also going to take your tweets. Scott St. Pierre is monitoring Twitter, hashtag RHAP. And then, of course, on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. All right, Jess, let's just talk about Team Texas and eulogize them a bit. Do you feel like they lost their will somewhere along the way?
I think maybe it wasn't the experience they expected going in, is my feeling on that. I don't know if they necessarily lost their will. I think they just kind of ran up against some things that they didn't expect. Like, for instance, having to, having to choose between like chivalry and coming in first place. And they felt a little icky about like not letting the cheerleaders go in front of them. And so they did. And that was ultimately kind of the thing that has led to the situation we find ourselves in now.
Yeah.
And I think they are guys that they kind of prize honor. And then for some reason, they think they can go on a CBS reality show and bring their honor with them and not have that get called into question.
Yeah, there is no honor in CBS reality.
There is not.
This is a good lesson to learn. But Jess, I actually didn't get to watch last week's episode until earlier this afternoon. And I was really surprised at that sort of like interplay between Team Texas and the cheerleaders at the end of the episode. We're like, all right, let's let them go ahead of us. And really, I mean, they should have been eliminated last week. It did seem to me like they were like rolling over and dying a bit. Once they were sort of like from the midpoint of the season on, sort of sentenced to the back of the pack, it just seemed like they sort of lost that will to really try to go tip top toes with Justin and Diana.
Well, it's a lot more fun when you're out in front.
That's what they say. So I don't know, Jess. These guys, it really seems to me like once it wasn't even so much after the injury. Who was it? Tanner that got the injury?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so.
And after the injury, it seemed like they were still pretty much in it, but there was just a point where it was like they were sort of at the back of the pack and it was just like,
Yeah.
Who needs this aggravation?
And I feel like another team could have come from back there and they would have, you know, been okay. But Team Texas, I think they're guys that are used to winning and they're guys that are used to, like, you know, everything going a certain way for them. And then when things didn't, they didn't know how to react to it.
Okay, well, we will talk about everything that with Team Texas come this Monday when I do my exit interview. We'll have that for you guys early next week on our Amazing Race exit interview. Okay, I guess. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have Justin and Diana, who are the first place finishers for the sixth time this season. Jess, how impressed have you been with Justin and Diana? And is it time to start to look at them as an all-time team?
Well, it's really interesting to me. It's such a refreshing thing to see a team come in that is, you know, they're both huge fans of the show. And not only are they huge fans of the show, they watched it with an eye to winning it. And that has actually been useful for them. And that, to me, I can't hate a team, no matter how cocky or obnoxious they get. I can't hate a team that's like that. Like, I would want to be that team. And I think, you know, I think it's fantastic. And I think they definitely are in the conversation. They're on pace. If they keep winning, they could mathematically beat Dave and Rachel's record.
You know, Jess, in terms of things like Major League Baseball, there's a lot of like sabermetricians who look at things and go by, okay, the 162 game season is a better indication of who was the best team than, say, the 3 or 4 weeks in October. Is it possible to say that Justin and Diana, if they don't win the race, could you say that they are still one of the best teams, or do they have to ultimately win the race for, like, just because, like, if you were, came in first place in, say, 9 legs of the race, but then ultimately came in second place on the final leg of the race, does that mean that they're a worse team than a team than that was never really in first place or has 1 and 2 first place finishes but just happened to come in first in the final leg?
So I think the question you're asking here is, you know, if they don't win the race, you know, are they a Rob Cesternino?
I wasn't quite saying that, Jess. Don't put words in my mouth.
I mean, if they do win, are they like a Boston Rob? And if they don't win, are they a Rob that sucks? I think it's two separate things.
Yeah, and you're confusing Boston Rob on The Amazing Race and Boston Rob on Survivor as well.
That is true, because Boston Rob on The Amazing Race was first runner-up.
Yes. So, but Jess, in terms of how you look at you're the Amazing Race historian. I mean, is it all about, hey, if you're not first place in the final leg of the race, then, you know, get back to me because you are not one of the all-time great teams? Or does it kind of say, like, that final leg of the race could be completely luck-based, and if you have, like, 7, 8, 9 first-place finishes along the way, you have a body of work and a resume that warrants you being in that. Like, it's really very fickle, that final leg of the Amazing Race.
Yeah, but, you know, we always say the only leg that really matters is the last one. And, yeah, we've had some really badly designed final legs where there's really no skill involved whatsoever. But we've also had, like, every leg can't test every skill, and you don't know what's going to come up. So I think there's always luck involved.
Okay.
And I think you can still count. Like, if they don't win, they can't be the greatest ever. But if they don't win, they could still be great.
The game is flawed.
The game is perfect, Rob.
Okay. So then let's talk about this big drama that unfolded about the U-turn. First off, Jess, it was a regular U-turn, not a double U-turn. Why did Amazing Race choose to go with just a 1 U-turn instead of a double U-turn?
Mix things up. I would guess also they figured with this few teams left, it doesn't make sense. We've seen it before. It was really annoying when there's 5 or 6 teams left that means a third of the cast gets U-turned.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what we're getting at here. I think, like, at the final five in season 25, we saw, you know, this is the Kim and Allie one, and it ends up like 40% of the people out on the course are U-turned. And that's kind of ridiculous.
It's exciting.
Yeah. When there's that few teams, I think you really only need one U-turn. And I think we've learned that over time.
Okay. So there was a bit of drama that unfolded between the green team and the photographers and the cheerleaders, where it seemed like the photographers were trying to get in the good graces of the green team. And they said, hey, just so you know, Logan and Chris told Justin that the cheerleaders, you turned you way back when. And Justin and Diana are like, what? And they're like, yep, they did it. And I don't know if Justin and Diana didn't believe them or Justin and Diana were just trying to stir up controversy. But to me, Jess, this was a bit like Shades of Amazing Race Boston Rob from Justin to go and try to start drama between these two teams that were both trying to talk to him.
Yeah, but with a little more chaos, I think. Like, Boston Rob never stirs things up for the sake of stirring things up. Like, he's always got an end game in mind, and this just felt chaotic. And it felt like, honestly, I wrote in my blog last week, I finally was inspired to write a blog, and I wrote that Justin and Diana need to make some friends out there if they really want to, you know, turn the public perception around. And they basically went out this week and did the exact opposite thing. Like, here is a team trying to, like, extend an olive branch and, like, maybe work with them a little bit and give them some information. They go and turn around and sell that person out.
Yeah, I was really curious to get your take on that, because certainly it was a good TV moment. But as a game move, I was really sort of curious why did that benefit them?
It didn't. It really didn't at all, unless it would make the cheerleaders so angry that they would turn around and U-turn Logan and Chris. But that doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah, what would that buy Justin and Diana?
It buys them not getting U-turned, but their plan was never to be in a position to be U-turned in the first place.
Yeah, so I don't really understand what good they got out of it. And it turned into a thing where you have Logan and Chris really walking away from that confrontation where they have a lot of animosity towards Justin and Diana, where apparently before that they didn't really have any.
Yeah. And I think it's almost like they're courting it. It's like they want it to happen.
Yeah. They really were looking for this a new antagonist because they knew Team Texas was not long for this world.
Yeah. Like, maybe they, you know, some teams need that rivalry. You know, it's like Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. The rivalry made them better. And so, Justin and Diana are like, our rivals fell to the back of the pack. They're not very good rivals anymore. Who else can we get?
They need some new enemy to sort of, like, focus their attention on.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Yeah. So that was a pretty wild confrontation, because they started saying that to them. And then Justin and Diana, like, right in front of Logan and Chris, were like, hold on, we're going to go talk to the cheerleaders. We'll walk them out. And they were like, hey, just so you know, the photographers, they're talking smack about you. And, you know, kudos to the cheerleaders for saying, like, just flat out denying it. They're like, what? How dare they? That's not true. And like, well, they're talking about you. And then ended up being like a whole big confrontation.
Yeah. And it's a thing that continually amazes me on The Amazing Race is how, like, some stupid, inconsequential piece of information ends up getting blown out of proportion in strange ways to put people in a U-turning mood. Like, this piece of information, so what? They used a U-turn on a team that was in front of them, and that team was so far in front that they never saw it. It didn't matter. Like, why is this earth-shattering news?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It reminds me of the Afghanimals. Like, the Afghanimals lying about whether or not they used a U-turn and honored the bargain, and then after that, oh my God, we hate the Afghanimals. They're such liars. They said they used the U-turn when they didn't. It's like, who cares? It's such a tiny thing, and everybody is still there. You guys didn't get eliminated because of it. You know, get over it, move on.
Okay. Well, it was certainly the highlight of the first half of the episode, which saw the Amazing Racers go into New Delhi, and we had sort of this whole hovering over this whole episode about who's going to get U-turned, who's going to have the U-turn used on them. Justin and Diana were really angling for it to be Team Texas. It's almost like then creating this controversy between the cheerleaders and the photographers, almost as like Justin and Diana were lucky that Team Texas didn't avoid the U-turn, and it was like the photographers could have just U-turned the cheerleaders if it wasn't for the reporters.
Yeah, we're just getting everybody involved here, Rob. But when you think about this logically, like, let's take all of the personal drama and all of the this person did this, and this person said that. Let's put all of that aside. We have a team that has been strong in the past, is not strong now, has a speed bump, will almost undoubtedly be behind you. You turning this team, no matter what team you are, you turning this team keeps you in the race and gets rid of them.
Yeah, the death blow.
That's the bottom line, yeah. And it was almost like it was pretty much a guarantee from the time they got there. You know, it's a team with a speed bump and a U-turn coming up. That team's toast. Those teams almost never come from behind.
Jess, this was the ultimate Amazing Race edit of one team is so far behind, but Amazing Race is going to really try to sell you that some team is so lost. Some team is such a disaster that they run the risk of this team that's so far behind everybody. They start to edit it like, boy, Team Texas really got through that other part of the U-turn really quick. Uh-oh, Team Texas got through. And you see Team Mother Boy is sort of like wandering around like they don't know what's going on. Maybe there's a thing. And I mean, that the last like 5 or 6 minutes of the episode was all about just trying to fake us out. But I was not taking the bait, Jess.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I mean, I would say the ultimate instance of a team getting the far behind suspense edit was the time when a team was a full 24 hours behind the other teams and they were able to intercut it. So it looked like they were everywhere at the same time of the day. And it turned out they were, you know, so far behind, Phil almost had to come get him in the airport.
Yeah.
But in fairness to Mother Boy, they did think they were in a lot of danger.
Yeah.
And they did lose over an hour because they got dropped off. I looked on Google Maps because I'm that kind of nerd again. It's like back in the early days when I was trying to impress you with my knowledge, I went to Google Maps. I looked this up. Where they were was like on the wrong side of a river from where they needed to be. It was like a good half mile away. And they spent a good hour covering that ground, trying to find where they were supposed to be. I think the confusion stemmed from the fact that they gave you the English translation of the garden, but I think everybody else knew it by the local name.
Okay.
That's what I'm guessing.
All right, well, let's talk about this speed bump. And we mentioned it earlier in this show about how it seemed like it was an excessively difficult speed bump. I mean, we always go back to, what was it, the Beekman boys who had to taste ice cream?
Yep, that's the, I think, either that or season 17 when they had to sit on a piece of ice for 10 minutes.
Yeah. That's the absolute nadir of the speed bump difficulty in terms of the Amazing Race. But now the pendulum has totally swung in the other direction where both of the people had to complete this somewhat difficult roadblock of doing laundry.
Yeah, this is not only is doing laundry kind of an anticlimactic task. This is the third time U.S. Amazing Race has gone to that well. The third time.
In India doing laundry?
In India doing laundry, it is the third time.
Yeah.
Technically, one of those times they were ironing, but I'm counting it as laundry. Laundry is laundry.
Is it the kind of thing where it's like half the audience of Amazing Race is like home on a Friday night actually doing their laundry? And it's like, hey, it's just like I'm on the show right now. I'm like folding towels, just like the people on the Amazing Race.
Well, you know, Rob, that's originally how I used to watch Amazing Race. Like back before I was a super fan, it would be on Sunday nights while I was doing my laundry, and I'd make them put it on in the laundromat.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
wow.
Maybe.
Yeah. And so we got to see just how all the laundry gets done in India. Apparently, everything gets put into a sort of a big burlap sack. You could stuff your saris in a sack, mister, and then everything goes by bicycle down to the river.
Yep. You know, in the bicycle down by the river.
Yeah. Then you get that big stick and you sort of jam it in there.
It looks like if you're really angry, you could vent a lot of frustration on that.
Yeah. And then you seemingly laying all of the laundry then out on the dirt seems like that would defeat the purpose of doing all the laundry, right?
Well, I had some douchebag on Twitter was tweeting me about how it was sand, not dirt. And after it dries, you can shake the sand off. I don't know how true I find that, but Yeah, I thought that was a little suspect as well. However,
why'd you call the guy that was the expert on the Indian laundry dirtbag? Is that like because he knows?
I didn't call him a dirtbag, Rob. I called him a douchebag.
Douchebag. Okay.
He was being super pedantic, and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to have this conversation with you. I'm watching The Amazing Race. You're partially my mellow dude. So I will give it one thing. The task was very visually stunning. They had really pretty fabric. They were laying it out in
very colorful patterns. Saris.
I wanted to like take pictures of it.
Yeah, it's very nice. So well done. But yeah, again, people doing laundry, not the most exciting TV that we're going to see. Like, we didn't have too many people checking their Fitbit on that one.
No, nobody was like their Fitbit kind of dipped into the negative numbers on that one.
Oh my God, my colors are bleeding. I'm at 110 right now.
Yeah, I never get that excited doing laundry.
No, hard to get that excited on a laundry task. All right, so then we ended up with our detour for this episode, and it was cans versus candy. What do you think about this detour, Jess?
I think, well, honestly, my first reaction was, there's a task called candy. I'm there. I'm doing it.
Yeah. Even though it was pumpkin candy?
No pumpkin, no.
Yeah, I don't know what they do to the pumpkin. Maybe they do some really delicious things to it.
I don't know. Pumpkin candy is really just, taking everything involved in Halloween and basically just sort of crystallized it into one thing. Pumpkin candy.
Yeah, it reminds me of those like little pieces of taffy that like the cheap houses used to give you in your trick-or-treat bucket. They were like peanut butter flavored and they had little pumpkin faces on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
those were the worst.
Do you think pumpkin candy is good? Can you ask that guy on Twitter that knows about the Indian laundry if pumpkin candy is good?
I think he might have blocked me.
Oh my God, so sensitive.
Yeah, I know Twitter is such a touchy place.
All right, so Jess, what did you think was the harder task, the can task or make pumpkin candy?
I think probably the can task, but they looked pretty comparable, and the can task turned out to be not as hard as it sounded.
Yeah, it seemed like the big challenge was that there was like a parade going through the city at the point where like most of the teams that were out in front were doing it. It seemed like by the time Team Texas was doing it, it seemed like rush hour was over.
Yeah, it looked like, well, maybe they only hired the parade to go through one time.
Yeah. Is that what they did? The Amazing Race producers were actually in the parade?
Yeah, you know, like Phil kind of rides by on the float. Like that would have been the ultimate, you know, task introduction, is you have Phil like cruising by on the float narrating the action.
That would have been pretty good. And then ultimately cutting the pumpkin candy up, we got to really see how the pumpkin candy is made, and then drying that out. Which was the more exciting task for you, cans or pumpkin candy?
I think cans was more exciting.
Yeah, because there was the attraction that maybe the cans could fall down.
Yeah, and they did. Like, Joey and Kelsey kind of had, like, can Armageddon. That was kind of fun to watch.
Canageddon.
I love the ones where, you know, they have to pile a bunch of stuff up, and then it falls everywhere and makes a huge mess, and people get frustrated. That makes good television.
Yes. And so, ultimately, we then had where Team Texas and the cheerleaders were working together once again to get their pumpkin candy together. Were you seeing any sort of love connection between the cheerleaders and Team Texas? Is that where you think this was going?
Maybe in like a sort of Stockholm syndrome sense, like they're the only single guys, they're the only single girls. You know, there's nobody else around. Nobody's eligible. We're kind of bored. I could see it going that way.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a real love connection.
Unfortunately not.
Yeah, no.
Jess, let's talk about Phil's shirt.
Oh, can we not talk about Phil's shirt?
Yeah, a lot of people wanted to hear of us talk about Phil's shirt on Twitter.
Yeah, that was like someone's poor curtains had to die to make Phil's shirt.
Yeah, very what was sad. Going on there?
I don't know what was going on there. Like maybe the airline lost his luggage and he had to go out and buy a shirt.
Yeah, no, it was a weird. It was definitely like a very...
It was sheer.
Yeah.
It was colorful and sheer. And maybe the feeling of the fabric makes him feel sexy. I'm not going to judge.
Yeah. But it was like a silk shirt, you think?
It looked like it might have been a silk shirt.
Yeah. You know, the whole pit stop in general was kind of weird. Like, what was with the guy just shaving people?
Yeah, it was like, you know, they called him up and asked him to be a greeter, but he forgot he had to work that day. So he'd just like run over and greet people and then go back to work.
Yeah, and then Phil was like trying to entice Justin, like, hey, we got this guy here who's shaving people. You want to shave? We can shave you here if you want.
Justin's like, you know, I know what happened the last time you promised me a spa treatment at the mat, Phil.
Yeah. So I'm sure are going to have a couple questions about Phil's shirt. Now, we are now, Jess, under a month away from the finale of The Amazing Race 27. Do you have a gut feeling where this is all going?
I do have a gut feeling. Yes. I'm going to stick with my original theory that I've been, you know, trumpeting for several weeks now. I think we are going to see Justin and Diana pull up in the Robin Amber slot.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin Amber Amazing Race slot, not Robin Amber Survivor slot. They're going to pull up in second place, and I think Joey and Kelsey are going to take it.
We did have at the pit stop, there was a little bit of a conversation between Joey and Kelsey, and then also with Logan and Chris talking about this. And, you know, that there's been this theme all season long with the reporters talking about, like, yeah, we were second again. We're trying to get to first. We want to get there. We just can't beat Justin and Diana. And it was I believe, Chris tonight that said they will not win the Amazing Race.
Yeah, I think he's a prophet. I don't think he's going to win the Amazing Race, but
Did he put a curse on them?
Maybe he did. Like, maybe he's a witch.
The Chris curse. There's a lot of witches on CBS reality TV these days.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah. So, do we have to call them team Hocus Focus?
That's pretty good, Rob. I like that.
Not bad. That was not bad.
Yeah, that was not bad at all.
Yeah,
like, we could just shut it down now. We're not
good night,
get
everybody.
Yeah, good everybody.
So, yeah, Logan and Chris, they were getting into it a little bit with each other as well. Were you concerned about them at all tonight?
It was kind of hard to watch, to be honest. Like, that's, you know, for some people, that's just how they talk to each other. And yeah. I'm sure that's, you know, not a hard leap of logic for you, Rob. But it did feel like Chris was really trying to take charge, and Logan was not used to having someone else take charge. My first thought was, clearly these people have never been on vacation together before.
I think that they are always like sort of in these vacation places together working, because they're always taking pictures. That isn't Logan like the bikini paparazzo?
Well, a working holiday is different from a holiday, Rob.
Is paparazzo, is a female paparazzi person? Is that a paparazzo or is it a paparazza?
I don't know, Rob. It seems like it would be a paparazza, but maybe it's one of those cases where they've never really accounted for the feminine case.
Yeah, I don't want to offend anybody.
No. We could just collectively like refer to them as paparazzi, or we can just, you know, piss everybody off and call them paparazzi singular.
Yeah. Or a photographer.
Yeah. Yeah. But Bobby Kelly points out in the chat room that this was their best leg of the entire season.
Yeah. And third place.
Yeah. Third place is nothing to sneeze at.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of great people get third place, Rob.
Yes, Jess. Jess is continually needling me tonight about Survivor. Did you recently just do a rewatch of Survivor Amazon?
No, I was just feeling like I didn't get to needle you last week. And so I had to like save it all up.
Okay. So for Team Mother Boy, do you feel like, is the bottom falling out for them? Do you feel like, is the end near?
You know, we keep getting these little sound bites like, oh, Denise can't keep up. You know, she's twice as old as everybody else out here. She's starting to get the Dave O'Leary edit a little bit.
The dreaded Dave O'Leary edit?
Yeah. And I mean, it worked out okay for them, but it does seem like they're sticking to the back of the pack, and it was not ultimately dangerous for them this week, but it could have been.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see if they can rebound from this. And then let's just talk about the reporters a little bit as well. They come in second place again this week. What are they doing wrong that you feel like they can't catch Justin and Diana?
They're not thinking of it in terms of, like, I don't think Justin and Diana see this as them versus the world. Justin and Diana think this is like them versus the race, and they want to come in first. They don't want to beat other people. They just want to win. And I think the key difference is Kelsey and Joey are kind of at the point where they want to beat Justin and Diana. They don't even care about winning. It's like, I want to do better than them.
What did you think of the New Delhi train news team where we had the reporters working with Tiffany and Krista to give us our forecast on the train.
Well, you know, you just had Nalia on the Survivor podcast. It reminded me of nothing more than the Row 2 morning show.
Yes.
Back from Survivor Marquesas. And
that was really good.
It was really good. And I love, like, Joey and Kelsey have done this a couple of times where they've gone into newscaster mode. And I think it's adorable. I think it's really funny. And that they're getting everybody else kind of into the same spirit. I think that bodes well for them. Like, yeah. Everybody seems to like them.
Did Krista lose points for you that she was pantomiming holding a microphone and the reporters were not pantomiming holding a microphone?
Well, okay, the anchor person typically doesn't hold a microphone. The field reporter does.
Okay, so she was in the field. She wasn't, like, in the studio at the map.
Yeah, she might have been, like, out in, like, the monsoon.
Okay, all right, so she was on location in her pantomime.
I'm gonna assume that's what was going on.
I thought that she was the person, she was, like, you know, at the big weather map talking about, like, we've got a big forecast today. Could be some U-turns moving in across over here. So that does make sense, Jess. That will fly for me.
Okay, so I hope that's what they were really doing, because it sounds good.
We'll ask them if we ever get to speak to them in an exit interview or winner interview.
At some point, we are going to speak to them. I know that is going to happen.
All right, Jess, before we jump into taking the questions, let me just take a moment and thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at True Car, because, you know, The Amazing Race has definitely seems to have had some trouble finding some new cars for people to drive around. I don't know why they're not on TrueCar.com or using the True Car mobile app, because that is the best way to go if you are shopping for a brand new car, Jess.
That's definitely correct.
Yeah, because they could be saving over $3,000 off of MSRP without any hassles or headaches. It's how car buying was always meant to be. You know, that they would be picking out all the features they want in those cars, just like the kinds of stuff, automatic, manual transmission, whatever they wanted to do on The Amazing Race. And of course, they could be seeing what other people are paying down to the zip code for a brand new car. Over 2 million cars have been sold by the True Car Certified Dealer Network, and there's over 10,000 dealers in the network. You could work directly with a True Car Certified Dealer when you visit TrueCar.com or download the True Car app and start saving. True Car, never overpay. Let's jump into some questions from tonight's episode. This is from Zingbot's Ghost. Ooh. Do you think that Phil would be interested in buying a bro or a man's ear? Come on, Zingbot's Ghost. I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. Leave Phil alone. Leave Phil alone.
Phil is CBS reality royalty.
Stop it. Stop it, Zingbot's Ghost. Megan Ainsworth says, Haymaker Hattie, is this the hardest speed bump we've seen?
Well, I'm glad that she brought this up, because this is something, like, I can get super nerdy with this. How nerdy do you want me to get, Rob? I'm going to go all
nerdy,
the way nerdy.
As nerdy as possible, please.
As nerdy as I want to be. We're going to go to Amazing Race Norway.
I wasn't expecting an Amazing Race Norway drop. I got to be honest.
Nobody expects
I was not
Amazing
expecting
Race Norway.
The Amazing Race Norway take right here.
Nobody expects Amazing Race Norway. They have a thing instead of a speed bump. They have something called a handicap. And it is basically you come in last on the
elimination spot
leg.
In keeping with the traffic theme.
No, it would be pretty fabulous if they had the little wheelchair guy as their symbol, but they didn't go there. They have this thing called a handicap where you don't have an extra task. What happens is you get to a task and the task for you is going to be just a little bit harder than it is for everybody else. So, like, there's a classic challenge that everybody has done in every Amazing Race. And it happens in India, curiously enough, where you have to, like, make these cakes out of
pumpkin,
something considerably worse than pumpkin, something you really wouldn't make candy out of ever, but you make these fuel cakes out of animal dung and you have to make a certain number of them. They have to all be perfect. And in Amazing Race Norway, they get to this task and everybody has to make 50. Except the team that came in last on the previous leg, who has to make 75. And another time they said, oh, yeah, your handicap is you just got U-turn to go back and do the other task.
Yeah.
So this is something I really like, the way that they executed this. It's really elegant. They don't have to build an extra task. It's very seamless, and it's one of the few things that works on that show. So I was happy to see this because this is basically that. And I think it's a much easier way to put a speed bump in.
It's just like, if I'm Team Texas, though, it's like the speed bumps have been so easy the last few years on The Amazing Race. It's almost like, what did we do that the production is making us do such a hard speed bump, especially on a leg with a U-turn?
Yeah, but you know, Kim and Allie could say the same thing about the fast forward. Like, all the fast forwards are easy except the one we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. That happened to be a five-hole task for another team.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's just like, it's luck of the draw. Sometimes your task is going to suck.
Okay.
And that's them's the breaks. You know, I've been burned by luck on TV before, too.
Yes.
You know, come join the club, Team Texas. You can sit behind.
Yes. Yeah, the water's fine. Come on in. All right. This is from Megan Ainsworth wants to know, where does navigating insanely busy streets, balancing stuff fall in the jail rules? Would you avoid that as much as animals? Because Megan would.
I don't know if I'd avoid as much as animals, but I would be inclined not to take the India traffic task in pretty much any scenario.
Yes. You would go with pumpkin candy because it involves both pumpkins and candy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that that's a fair rule. When the task has the word candy in it, always pick that one.
Yeah. And you know, Amy from The Sweet Scientists totally agreed with me. She said, candy makes you do crazy things. Like, get a PhD in it, you choose it on the race.
Yeah. Okay, this is from Chris Bastian. Says, if a team has an airline status, can they use it on the race for upgrades, lounges, and better seating, Jess?
Baseball Bunnies did that.
They did.
Yeah, they memorized their like frequent flyer number or whatever it was, and they got to go into the first class lounge. I think you can't use it, like you can't bring your card with you, but nobody is going to be able to stop you from memorizing that number and getting access to the lounge.
Mm, can you get it like in permanent marker and write it down?
You could get it tattooed on your body.
Like memento?
Like in memento.
That's pretty good. Okay, this is from Bobby Jefferson wants to know, is the track record of the U-turn good? Has the U-turn paid off in terms of entertaining TV, or does it need adjusting? Jess, do you want to workshop the U-turn at all?
Yeah, I think the U-turn, we need to do something different with the U-turn, because at this point, it's basically just the outlet for all of your spite against all the other teams. You just funnel it into the U-turn, and I think we need to find a way to kind of, you know, drain all the spite out of that. And if that means we throw some more things, like I think something that could happen, I think something that could work in this regard is we could bring in something that they did in Amazing Race Canada this summer. We bring in the face-off.
Face-off?
And that, yes. And the way the face-off works, Rob, I know you didn't watch Amazing Race Canada.
You know, but I saw the movie. It's where then Nick Cage can look like John Travolta.
Yes, absolutely. You peel off another team's face and you put it on over your own.
Yes.
That's not how.
And it's like, oh, now I'm Justin. Screw you. Yeah. Like, boy, Justin's being extra mean today. What's gotten into him?
Yeah, so, you know, John Travolta and Nicolas Cage don't have much to do with this face-off. Basically what it is there's a task and two teams can compete at it at once. And the first team to get there and the second team to get there, face off. Whatever team wins gets to go on. Whatever team doesn't has to wait for the next team. And so it's a lot of head-to-head competition. You have to confront each other. You have to interact in a way that's a lot more direct than the race usually is. And it worked very well in Canada in at least one occasion, and not so well in another one.
Okay.
Because in the other one, everybody was quitting the task, and that was no fun.
So you feel like the U-turn sort of like fosters a lot of like passive aggressive behavior in the teams, where you feel like that this sort of idea would make the teams have to directly work out these confrontations.
Yeah, they'd have to be aggressive.
Well, I like that.
Yeah, so, you know, that's my suggestion. Bertram, if you're listening, because I know you do faithfully, that's what you need to do. Bring in the face-off, put it on U.S. Amazing Race, see how it works.
Okay, and then you would get rid of U-turns.
I would maybe retire U-turns for maybe one season.
For one season of no U-turns. I think that this one was fine tonight. I mean, it did make for somewhat of a boring episode, considering that we had it coming on the heels of the team that had a speed bump. The first time it was used this season, it wasn't that exciting because it was a non-elimination leg and nobody was using it. So overall, the U-turn, other than when, you know, creating some drama about like what we saw tonight and then also the last time around where Team Texas was trying to get other teams to U-turn Justin and Diana. In practice, it did not have a lot of excitement, but just the general talk about it did generate some fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for workshopping the U-turn itself, here's one thing I want them to stop doing altogether. Do not put the U-turn on a leg with a speed bump. Like, that's just, like, it just kind of puts a target on the team that's marked for elimination, and it's really, it makes it a lot less exciting. So I think you need to plan it out so that the U-turn happens on some other leg. Like, don't use it in conjunction with non-elimination legs at all.
Okay. Let's take some more questions with Jess. Mr. Air Sonic wants to say, do you think even if Team Texas wasn't U-turned, they still would have gone home? I have a feeling that they would have. Do you think that they would have been able to get out in front?
I think they would have been able to get out in front just because of what happened with Mother Boy.
Yes.
I think James Earl and Denise got knocked back a little bit further. And I think if it hadn't been for that extra roadblock they had to do, I think Tanner and Josh would have been ahead of them.
Okay. Let's go to... Juror Survivor fan, Voice of Silence, says, was there ever a season where the racers never had to drive by their own in any leg? Is this a first?
I'm not in the frame of mind where I could tell you off the top of my head. I mean, some seasons have more cars than others, and I think one of the things that is very evident this season is that Ford kind of pulled back a little bit.
Pull it back a little bit.
Yeah, to back it up.
Boop, boop, boop.
Yep, exactly that. Ford's not as aggressive a sponsor as they used to be, so you don't have a Ford waiting for them at the beginning of every leg, and I think without that product placement, there's less incentive to drive.
Hmm. Do you think that Ford might have had a meeting where it's like, we love the show. We love the show. We'd like to be involved. Is there any way that maybe, I feel like if we could get some more like social media buzz around the show, we'd be back in.
Yeah, it could be. I think maybe Ford is upset because last season when they had to drive the Fords, like half the people just, ran them into the ground and didn't know how to drive a stick shift. And it's like, it just, the ultimate takeaway from that was like, Ford cars are difficult to drive.
Yeah.
And you might ruin it if you get one.
And driving matters to a lot of viewers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that their slogan?
No, that's somebody else.
No, that's somebody else. So I think maybe the abuse of the Ford cars in the previous season might have led Ford to take a step back this season. I don't really know.
Okay. Jeremiah Yap says, does Chris saying that Justin and Diana won't win the million mean they eventually will? We've had this before with Christy Smith and Fairplay. Different show.
And we've had plenty of times where they've said a team will win and they don't. And we've had plenty of times where they say they don't win and they will, and plenty where they say they don't win and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name for the mathematical square where you got like all the different outcomes, or like the genetic square, like the Mendel square? That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see if the prophecy of Hocus Focus actually comes to fruition.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they seem like smart cookies for all their bickering.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if we can get Stephen Fishback on to recite the proper passage of Macbeth.
Yeah, Stephen Fishback hates The Amazing Race. So I'm not going to hold my breath on that one.
All right, let's take this one from Tony's Llama. Why didn't Green U-turn Paparazzi like they said they would?
I think Green didn't have anything to gain from that.
But why didn't they U-turn Team Texas?
Because they were out in front. They don't need to, like, that's just piling on. I think
Hold on. Let me stop you right there. Hold on. So now you're telling me that Justin and Diana are like, well, we don't want to rub it in anybody's face.
They're classier people than I think a lot of people give them credit for.
I mean, Justin was almost singing a song and dancing about how the Dallas boys are going home in this leg.
Yeah, yeah, but why add insult to injury? Like, what is the point
in
that?
Isn't that kind of what they do?
Justin and Diana said it in the episode. They They only want to use the U-turn if they have to save themselves. And this time, they were in absolutely no danger. There was no upside to that.
Okay. Then why did the reporters do it?
Because the reporters weren't quite in as great a spot. Like, they were out in front, but they weren't there yet. And I think they saw the opportunity. Here's a team that if that team goes to the finals, that team's very likely to beat us at anything physical. They're back there. Why don't we take the opportunity to get rid of them?
Okay. Let's take some more questions. This is from Diane CM. Says, Texas lost because they were thinking with the wrong heads in the previous leg. Hashtag sad way to lose, but can't wait
hashtag
for a wrap-up.
Family show.
Yeah, is that what happened with Team Texas? No time for love, Dr. Jones?
Could be.
Okay. Well, look, it was a noble way to go out, right?
Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to accuse them of going out for playing the game too hard or being dirty. Like, what are David Bloomberg's rules in this case? Like, don't overplot. Like, nobody's going to accuse them of doing that.
No, they did not scheme and plot too much.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did so-so with playing the social game, with being flexible and whatnot. So we'll see. That's a different podcast. Cindy Wirtz says, seriously, I hate Justin. Has there been a more unlikable guy? Is she talking about Justin Bieber?
Could be. I don't know what Justin she's talking about. I love that guy. Cindy, seriously, you need to read my blog. Nobody reads my blog. That's why I don't write my blog every week. I made a whole list of people that were less likable than Justin.
Yeah. So you're saying that Justin is not at all unlikable.
I'm sure that, you know, it seems like he's the kind of person that's an acquired taste. Like, we have a lot of people like that in modern day CBS reality. The kind of people that, you know, you can't necessarily have a conversation with them about anything, and they're not necessarily going to work to make you feel included and liked.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that doesn't mean they're terrible people that you should hate.
Yeah, and I think that Justin comes across as, you know, definitely arrogant, definitely self-confident in his ability, but he doesn't seem like a bad guy in that he's never like talking, you know, down to his wife or anything like that. And there's definitely been cases of people on The Amazing Race where they've been sort of like somewhat borderline abusive adjacent to their partner. And I think that that's what makes people come across truly unlikable to me on these shows. And I think that, you know, while he's been super competitive, I think that to call him a bad guy, I think would definitely be a stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're all within your rights to not like him, but seriously, he doesn't even make the bottom five for me.
Right. I think it's very fair to say I'm not rooting for them, but to say that, you know, in any way, shape or form, he's been a bad guy this season, I think is definitely a stretch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm rooting for every team that's left, to be honest. Like,
well,
I like
Jess, that's
all
a little Pollyanna.
It is a little Pollyanna, but they're also great. They're just awesome. And I like them very much. And I want them all to win.
Okay.
Can't we just like give them, you know, all this money that you're saving by like not hiring the greeter full time? Why don't you just pool that and give it to the teams?
Okay. All right. Jess, this question is from Voice of Silence. People want the racers to be excited. So why is Justin so hated? He's so much fun. And we all love a little villain spice. No, what do you prefer? Villain spice or pumpkin spice?
Pumpkin spice is delicious.
Yeah.
No pumpkin, no.
Yeah. Would you have a villain spice latte?
I would be worried about dying.
Yeah, I guess
villain
so.
Villain spice is like cardamom with a touch of hemlock.
Mm. Okay, then let's take a question from George Wise. Says, is this the first single U-turn since season 16? What prompted its return? Well, Jess, you talked about the reasons for a single U-turn earlier, but has it been since season 16?
That sounds improbable, but, you know, I didn't go and count the U-turns this time. I think he might be right. I think we have not seen a single U-turn very often. Like,
wow.
They seem to alternate between, like, the blind and the sighted U-turns. But we haven't seen a single one in a while, and I kind of like it. I think it's nice to mix it up because you can't necessarily count on being able to have it if you're not the first person there.
I want a triple U-turn.
When do you want this, Rob? At the final three?
First leg.
Okay.
Triple U-turn. First leg. Let's get this show off with a bang.
All right.
You're into it?
I'm into it. You know, it's going to Samoa.
Randy Bailey.
Bailey?
Someone please explain the significance of the guy at the finish line shaving another guy. WTF.
Maybe it was symbolic of the close shave that Mother Boy faced in their struggle to find the map before Tanner and Josh did.
Yeah. Boy, I don't really know exactly what was going on there. Is there, you know, is India sort of synonymous with shaving? I feel like there's a lot of beards in India.
I think India has barbers, I guess. Everywhere has barbers. I think maybe they forgot to hire a greeter altogether, and they just had to run into town and grab the first guy they saw. And he's like, I'm busy.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I can come down. I've got to work.
Yeah. Bring your clients. Then you have two greeters.
Got to shave some people. Yeah. Let's do two more questions. Mr. Air Sonic says, do you guys think that Justin and Diana can tie Nick Starr and Megan and Cheyenne and possibly even tie Rachel and Dave and Natalie and Megan from Amazing Race Canada too? They have a very good shot as there's still three, two if it's a final four legs to win.
Yeah, they're definitely in the mix. I think they could tie second place, certainly, and they could easily tie Rachel and Dave.
Okay, so what they'd have to win out, today is November 20th. There'll be a Amazing Race episode after Thanksgiving next week, right?
Mm-hmm. I think there are three more episodes.
Yeah, I know from, because I'm trying to book out the Survivor episode. So there's going to be then an episode on the 4th. So that's two more. And then an episode on the 11th. And then there's the final leg. So could there potentially be four more legs?
Yeah, I think there usually are 13 legs.
Yeah. Okay.
So if they win all of them, they beat Rachel and Dave.
Wow.
So, you know, they're like Jim and Misty. They're going for, you know, they got the thumb. They're going for the rest of the other hand or something.
They're going for it. They're going for it. Okay. Yeah. Matt Carter, our good buddy, Matt Carter Media. He wants to know, why do you guys think that they decided to make a tough speed bump? Still remember the ice cream one. What was it? They were just trying to mess it up. You don't think it was because they wanted to see Team Texas struggle?
I think it was because they were listening to us. And I keep saying, we got to make the speed bump harder.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do one more question. If we have one, Scott, Voice of Silence wants to know, since the green team overcame now the bad taxi / Toto driver and one of the strongest teams got eliminated, how can they be stopped?
How can they be stopped? Well, how indeed?
Here's let me paint the scenario. There are a team of magical photographers that just put a curse on them. And so at some point before the end of this race, that hocus focus magic is going to come to light, and they are going to be jinxed and not win.
It's witchcraft.
That's how you stop them.
I guess so. Open up your Necronomicon and invoke the dark forces.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Okay, so we will see. We'll see what happens for the green team. Only four legs of this race to go. Here we are within 1 month until the finale of the Amazing Race. Got to go # Hocus Focus, right?
You know, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's an inspired hashtag here tonight. Jess, of course, you had your blog up last week. You could see whatever Jess is up to at Haymaker Hattie.
That's where I'm at on the Twitter.
Yeah. We had a two-part Survivor recap this week. I was very happy with the shows that we did. Nalia Dennis, speaking of Survivor Marquesas, she was my guest in the first half of the Survivor recap. And then I was really, really happy with the voicemail show I did with Bryce Isaiah Johnson, who it's always one of the most highly anticipated voicemail shows that we do every season. He was great yesterday on the voicemail shows. You can hear both of those on robiswebsite.com. Plus, we'll get back into our Amazing Race exit interviews on Monday when I speak with Team Texas, and then we'll have that up for you guys early next week. So exciting stuff coming up.
Yeah, it's a crazy time here at the Robis podcast.
Fun stuff. Jess, you and I will be back here on Black Friday next week.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
You're not going to be, you know, camped out at some department store?
I do all my shopping online, Rob.
Okay, well,
I'm waiting for Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday, Black Friday. You know what to do. We have our links for Amazon.com. Always appreciate it when you guys think of us. Robiswebsite.com / Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robinsonwebsite.com/AmazonCA. Jess, again, thanks so much to you and Mike Bloom and Dan Heaton for filling in my absence last week.
Anytime. That was a lot of fun.
And again, another big thanks to Scott for keeping all of the podcast tucks moving during my absence last week. So looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. We'll be back next Friday night for more Amazing Race. Talk to you guys again soon. Take care. Bye.